Mr. Mayor, Madam Mayoress, incidentally, those of you who are wondering, I'm saying Madam Mayoress, and there is a gap next to the mayor. She's sitting at the front because that's where she prefers to be. She said, so she can, exactly, yes.
Keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. Anyhow, Mr. Mayor, Madam Mayoress, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 29th Annual General Meeting of the Winchester and District Newspaper Association. I'm delighted that you, Mr. Mayor, and you, Madam Mayoress, can join us today for the AGM and then obviously afterwards for tea. The first item on the agenda, we'll whiz through this pretty quickly. The first item on the agenda is apologies, and I have apologies from Tom McInulty and Kathy Yelf, the Macular Society, Anna O'Brien, Winchester Radio, and Liz Colley, Winchester Hospital League of Friends, and also from 19 members and friends and other supporters. But there are 51 acceptances, and most of those have made it here today, so pleased to see you. So to everyone here today, thanks for coming and welcome. Next on the agenda is the minutes of the last meeting. Those of you who have been here for more than a few minutes would have had a chance, I think, to look through the minutes which are on the seats, one between two. Assuming that you've all really had a good look, may I take it from that the minutes of last year's AGM are approved, or are there any matters arising? Can I have a proposer then, please, to say that we can take the minutes as being approved? Peter Lydiard, thank you. Where's Mary? Are you you're taking a note of these bits and bobs, aren't you? Thank you. So Peter Lydiard and a seconder. Keith Vincent, thank you very much. And a show of hands, please, to approve that they be taken as read. Thank you very much. Fine. Good. Next on the agenda is the chairman's, or matters arising, but we've covered that, strictly speaking. So the next matter on the agenda is my report. And it's fair to say we've had a remarkably busy year since last year's AGM, which was, in fact, not even a year ago, because it was mid-May last year, so it's only been 11 months. We had a lot of help. We were given a lot of help to the Clarendon Marathon in October last year, which we've been doing now for several years, and we received a donation of £300, which is wonderful. We need all the money we can get, and we're helping with the Clarendon Marathon this coming October. It seems a long way away, but those of you who've got your diaries out, it's Sunday the 6th of October. Also, this coming autumn, we've been selected by Littleton and Hare Stock Show as one of the beneficiaries of their show profits. And that show is going to be on Sunday the 7th of September, here, of course, and on the ground there. Tony Ormiston is here. He's the chairman of Littleton and Hare Stock Show Society. I met him earlier. Where are you, Tony? There he is, Tony. Thank you very much. So thanks very much for selecting us to be a beneficiary. Sorry? Oh, I beg your pardon. Saturday. Good job you pointed that out. Talks. We always go on about talks because we do whatever we can to spread the word. And sometimes they're interesting in unexpected ways. And that was the case quite recently when we were giving a talk to the Winchester Ladies Luncheon Club in February. We were handed during that meeting a quantity of WTN archive material by Shirley Lovell, whose late husband had been a volunteer at WTN in the early years. Amongst all that material, which there were photographs and notes and all sorts of things, but amongst all the material was a typed history of the organisation. And when I say typed, I actually do mean typed. I've got a photocopy of it here. Makes very interesting reading, as you can imagine. And what happened was, very briefly, was that during 1989, volunteers were sought through the Hampshire Chronicle to find as many people as they could to help get a talking newspaper in Winchester up and running. There's an interesting little bit here that I must read you. Some of you will know the person to whom some of this refers. So this is from the typed history. One of the most important replies we received was from a volunteer called Celia Ferguson. She hates all this. I told her I was going to say this, and she's already given me what-o. And Celia offered the use of an annex to her house in Wanston as a studio. Although there was initial doubt about travelling to Wanston, that rings true for lots of us here today, although there was initial doubt, especially during the winter months, the accommodation was very suitable. Celia's enthusiasm for the whole enterprise found us accepting her offer to use this annex as the studio. Of course, Celia has enormous enthusiasm for everything, as we all know. During 1990, the year after that, preparations were well underway for copying recordings onto tapes, and some of us still, by accident, refer to them as tapes, and I think we always will, probably. An extract from that history that I was just reading from says this. Celia Ferguson cooperated and assisted in every possible way, which was a most valuable added asset to her original offer of accommodation. Celia prepared means of recording and dispatching and returning tapes and offered to be responsible for this task and to arrange a rota of volunteers. And she's still doing that in 2019, except they're not tapes. She goes on. 97 tapes were copied and dispatched. And, of course, that number went up and up over the years, and it's gradually come down because of all sorts of reasons, what we call natural wastage. We did go up to 200 listeners at one time. We're now down to around about 100. There are lots of ways that people now who are visually impaired can access the news on their computer and so on. So that's one of the reasons. And, of course, there are medical advancements to help people not become visually impaired. And these extracts are relevant to our studio relocation, which many of you probably know about, but I'll come on to it very briefly shortly. As far as talks are concerned, I'm giving a talk tomorrow, in fact, at the Chandlersford Ladies Luncheon Club. So we do whatever we can to spread the word. I do like giving the talks to the luncheon clubs because I have lunch first, of course. So we all have a good lunch and I stand up and they go to sleep and I talk away. Now, whilst talking about the archive material that I mentioned, I would like to say that we are hoping that there will be a volunteer, perhaps not here today, but certainly in the future, who will take on the archiving of WTN material. There was a chap called Colin Eames who was one of our volunteers, and he was the WTN archivist some time ago. So he managed to put together and get organised with the Hampshire Record Office in Winchester quite a lot of boxes of stuff. I have a box of material, and we also have this quantity that John Lovell's wife gave me the other day. So if anybody would, it's not an onerous task, I don't think, but if anybody would like to talk to me afterwards about what's involved with it and also to say they would like to do it, then that would be excellent. Honestly, it would be excellent. last year's studio relocation, which many of you, as I say, know about, it was something that we had sort of anticipated. We'd been in Steele's in Chesil Street for 8 years, and originally we were going to be there for two, and two spread to eight, and we had 8 good years there, and they were terrific landlords in all respects and very supportive of us, but many of you will know that they've spent millions on a refurbishment of Chesil House. and which is terrifically grand and wonderful now, but they needed our studio as a store room, so they gave us notice. So that was on the 6th of September. We were given notice of that, and we were asked to vacate the premises at Christmas. And of course, that seemed initially, it seemed quite a good bit of notice. You know, I thought, oh, well, that's not so bad, Christmas. Well, but of course, Christmas, we all know, is round the corner in no time at all. And it was quite soon we started to panic. But at the very early stages, that 6th of September, I received a notice from Steels, and I told the rest of the committee about this notice, and we had to be out by Christmas. And whilst the rest of us were all worrying and wondering what we could do, Celia Ferguson, the aforementioned, who had been on the committee and still is on the committee, immediately said, well, why not come back to the studio in my house in Wanston, where we all were? And so, of course, I mean, that's typically generous of Celia. So we all Londoned and said, yes, we should, and but perhaps we could, you know, and so on. And we didn't make an immediate decision. We carried on looking for months looking for
two
premises. Was it 2 months? It seemed like 5 months. But anyway, and it was a bit of a business, really, and we were astonished at daft things that we were offered, little rooms with high monthly rents. And somebody said, you can have a room from us, but you'll have to get it all packed up at the end of every recording and put it away. Well, I mean, for goodness sake. So we did decide to relocate back to Brook House in Wanston. So the physical move started, we planned for it, and on the morning of Friday the 14th of December, we recorded the Chronicle, as we do every Friday morning. The copiers did all the copying, as they do at 12 o'clock every Friday. And as soon as that was finished, Keith Vincent and Peter Lydiard and I started dismantling the equipment, labelling all the leads so that when we got to the other end, we would know which holes to plug them back into. And we were taking down the what we call the soundproofing. Many of you will know as being the duvets on the walls. So we were taking that down, taking down the notice board, putting everything into boxes. And that took quite a long time, legs off the table and all that sort of stuff. Although as darkness descended, we'd finished on that same day, which was extraordinary. The next day, Saturday the 15th of December, dawned to torrential rain, which wasn't a good start, but it didn't put us off. So that morning, Keith and Peter, and we were then joined by Jane Harding, and I made countless trips from the studio up the road with all these boxes of stuff in the hammering, pouring rain up to where we'd parked our rented transit van outside the front door of the Chesil Theatre. Up and down we went for a very long time, and got it all done really in a surprisingly short amount of time. We then drove to Wanston. Peter was the driver of the transit van, and yet it got there. I didn't mean that really.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I mean. So anyway, we got there. All of us got there by hook or by crook, and started then. Celia was already there with the doors open. We started unloading, getting everything into the studio, connecting it all, starting everything up, hammering things into the walls on which to hang our soundproofing. It was remarkable how it all happened. Went smooth like, I was going to say concrete, I meant clockwork. And then round about lunchtime, when we were all pretty much fed up and soaked and freezing cold, Celia magicked out of nowhere, hot mugs of boiling Bovril and lashings of hot buttered toast, which was absolutely terrific. I can't tell you how welcome that was. And I can see Keith, he's nodding because he can remember it. Fueled with that, we carried on for the rest of the day. And by the time we left at, let's say, around about tea time, certainly before it was dark, everything was connected and it all worked remarkably. And the following Friday, we were recording and copying as we had been, as though nothing had changed. So we didn't miss 1 week's recording. And at which point I'd like to register my thanks to Keith and Peter and Jane and Celia, because without that team, we wouldn't have been able to achieve it. So it was quite a working party, thank you. Now I said everything is up and running, and it is, although I must mention, as I do almost every AGM, problems that we're having with copying. It seems to be the one area, I'm only smiling because Noel's smiling because he does a lot of it, so he knows. But it's the one area we have where we have constant problems. It doesn't matter. We sometimes think it's to do with compatibility or lack of between the memory sticks and the copying machine. We don't know, but we do know that we're going to invest a large proportion, if not all of the money that the show is going to donate to us, to examining exactly how we need to move forward to have new copying systems or a new copying system to obviate all the problems that we have. So next year, this time, when we get on to copying in my report, I should be able to say, and just in passing, all our copying problems are a thing of the past. And then we can move on. There is some sad news to report, as always. Brian Woodruff, many of you would have known Brian, he died peacefully in hospital on the 11th of February. He was 92. And many of you, as I say, will have known him and read with him. He was a reader for very many years until he retired from reading early in 2017 because of ill health. And he'd been in a nursing home in Headbourne Worthy. He was a wonderful chap, and I must just mention something that his son said at his funeral. And he said, "The biggest sadness for me is that my father can't be here because Dad really liked to be the centre of attention." And he is at this because this is what it's all about. And I think it was an excellent funeral. He if he's somewhere looking, he would approve. Got to record another death, which is Mike Bidwell, who was for many years a magazine editor. And he died suddenly in mid-February. He was a charming, intelligent man with a wonderful sense of humour. And our thoughts are with his partner, Sheila. Finally, a big thank you to everybody who helps to produce our weekly and our monthly recordings. At the last count, there were 70 volunteers. So we're a big team, but a good one. So thank you.